It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden age. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levanier. In this hour, True History. Later on, we'll hear about the Air Evacuation Service on the Cavalcade of America, but right now it's the Hallmark Hall of Fame. Lionel Barrymore is our host in the CBS broadcast from May 9th, 1954, a show dedicated to the life and times of Dr. Albert Schweitzer.
Remember, a Hallmark card when you care enough to send the very best. Tonight from Hollywood, the makers of Hallmark cards bring you a true story from the life of Albert Schweitzer on the Hallmark Hall of Fame. And here is our distinguished host, Mr. Lionel Barrymore.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Hallmark Hall of Fame. A few years ago, a poll was conducted of the leading minds of our time, scientists and philosophers, physicists and men of literature, and the question was this: who, in your opinion, is the greatest man alive today? The answer was practically unanimous, and that man is the subject of our story tonight. His name is Albert Schweitzer, and you'll hear his amazing true story in just a moment. But first, here is Frank Goss.
There are Hallmark cards for every day in the year. For every day in the year is made happier by a Hallmark card. Not only the special occasions, anniversaries, birthdays, and holidays, but the Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays of everyday living are made brighter, richer when you send a Hallmark card. Because a Hallmark card says just what you want to say, the way you want to say it. And on the back is that identifying hallmark that says, you cared enough to send the very best. Lionel Barrymore appears by arrangement with MGM, producers of Executive Suite, starring William Holden, June Allison, Barbara Stanwyck, Frederick March, Walter Pidgeon, Shelley Winters, Paul Douglas, and Louis Calhern. And now Mr. Barrymore brings you tonight's exciting true story on the Hallmark Hall of Fame.
Music you heard is being played by Albert Schweitzer and was recorded at the parish church in Gunsbach, Alsace. And it was here that he was born, 79 years ago. The son of a minister, Schweitzer was soon widely recognized as an organist of great promise. He was brilliant in his studies, too, with degrees from Paris and Berlin and Strasbourg. He wrote remarkable papers, books on Bach, Goethe, Immanuel Kant, and the meaning of Christ. And at 30, Albert Schweitzer had found success and happiness in all the fields of his interests. Principal of the University of Strasbourg, invitations to give organ concerts in all the capitals of the world, a fond and distinguished group of friends and colleagues, and a loving wife.
And although I regret that this announcement comes to you as a shock, I must explain that this is no sudden whim.
Indeed, I should not expect it to be such.
No, Father, this decision was made 9 years ago, in 1896, when I was 21.
But about this throwing away of all you have.
Well, when I had reached my 21st birthday, I paused and I took stock. And it was then that I first realized that my capacity for happiness, for the enjoyment of life, was perhaps unusually developed. That which I wanted, I could have. Anything. I had but to set my mind and hand to it, and it was done.
To be sure, but what has that to do with this plan of yours?
With those about me, this fortunate gift seems not to be the rule. Now, it has always seemed to me that one must give something in return for happiness. Not accept happiness as a matter of course. So I made a decision. I would live for my science and art until my 30th year, and from that time forward, I would devote myself to the direct service of humanity.
But Albert, you do not make yourself clear. The service of humanity, What would that entail?
To begin with, I must become a doctor.
But you are a doctor.
No, I mean a doctor of medicine, Father, not philosophy.
Of medicine? But you are not a beardless boy just starting his life. You are 30 years old. You have a career. Your work here at the university, your concert.
There are others who can teach, who can lecture, who can play music, many others.
You say you want to serve humanity. I say you are serving humanity right here with what you are doing.
Wait, Father. Albert, it takes 8 years to obtain a medical degree. I don't doubt that you can do it. But when you have, what then?
There is a place in Africa, in the northern part of the Congo, where much is needed. Food, medicine, help. An abandoned mission in a place called Lambarini.
You want to be a missionary?
No, I don't want to be a missionary. I'm not going into the jungle to sell some particular style of worship. I intend to help people, Father, in as genuine and direct a manner as I can. I have a philosophy, a creed to live by. It may be summed up simply: reverence for life. June the 11th, 1913. At long last, I have received my degree in medicine. Fortunately, I have found time to write 2 books on Johann Sebastian Bach and a survey of all the books written on the life of our Lord Jesus. And now, at last, my dear wife and I have arrived in Africa.
Albert?
Yes, my dear?
The riverboat. It has brought new supplies. The ones you ordered from Vienna.
Ah, that is good. And books.
No books.
No books, no temptations, hmm? So I can finish building the new dispensary.
Your father writes.
Oh, what does he say?
The war grows worse. The university has been emptied of its young men. And he had a visit from 2 officers of the German army.
What did they want?
You?
Me? Why?
They are conscripting all doctors.
Oh, fool.
He told them that you are in the jungles of French Equatorial Africa. And if they want you badly enough, they could come and find you. So, they went away.
Civilization.
The district commandant came up on the boat. He stopped to talk to some of the natives.
I wonder what he wants.
Oh, probably some more fruit or medicine for his wife.
Mm.
Could I help you with the steer?
If you will. Tamba went off and left me single-handed again. Pick up the end of the plank and hold it in line.
Like this?
That's it. Yeah. Here we have one thing to be thankful for, my dear.
I wish you'd tell me what it is.
The war is 3,000 miles away and cannot touch us or our work.
Albert.
We have a visitor.
Good afternoon, Doctor.
Monsieur le Commandant, how nice to see you.
And you, sir. Madame?
Monsieur. Shall we all go down to the house and have tea?
Later. Amazing. Formidable.
Monsieur.
What you have done in the few short months since my last visit to Lambarini. Now this. This new building, what is it to be?
Oh, this will be our new dispensary. The old one's going to be made into a small chapel. We've been holding Sunday morning services out of doors, but with the rainy season coming, we don't want to get caught the way we did last year.
Yes. Now, the reason
for... As you came up the path, did you see the new orchard?
Yes, splendid.
But you have something on your mind, Monsieur le Commandant, do you not?
Yes, Doctor, I do.
Do not hesitate. We are friends.
Well, the fact of the matter is this. I have received an order that all enemy aliens are to be interned for the duration of European hostilities.
Enemy aliens?
German citizens.
Oh, will we have to leave Lambarini?
No, but my orders are that you are not to be allowed to practice medicine on French subjects.
By French subjects? Do you refer to the natives?
Those are my orders.
Oh, fantastic. These people cannot even speak French. Why, not 1 in 100 has even heard of your country.
I am sorry.
What has France done for them that you should now take the role of paternal protector, protector against the dangerous enemy alien Schweitzer? Have you given them food when they need it? No. Have you sent in your educators? No.
Have you supplied them with protection against disease?
No. I do not originate this order, Doctor.
Then I suggest that you correspond with those who did and see if it cannot be changed.
These matters are not so simple as that.
Then tell me, if a man is brought to me this hour, one such as I had yesterday, a man mauled by a lion, his arm half torn from his body, what shall I do? Shall I stand aside and tell him of the glories of France? Or shall I give him medical care?
These orders must be enforced. And to that end, I am leaving two guards, natives, to see that they are.
And if the native guards fall ill?
Albert, please. One question, monsieur.
Yes?
If your wife should again fall ill, Albert saved her life. Last year, you know.
I know. It is a dilemma.
Think on it, monsieur. And act. Start writing those letters.
I shall.
And now, shall we have tea? Albert?
Oh, just a moment.
Oh, you're writing again. How's the new book coming?
Oh, fine. One of the benefits of being interned, time to think. You're right.
There are two more natives outside.
What's the trouble?
The same as that with the man yesterday.
Oh, Schweitzer's surreptitious surgery.
And he is back.
Mm-hmm. The commandant?
Yes.
18 months of this sneaking about. Where are they, in the dispensary?
Who in the dispensary?
Oh, it is you.
I repeat, Doctor. What is this about the dispensary?
Two of your loyal native subjects, Monsieur le Commandant.
You have received your orders on this subject, Herr Doctor.
Then, as District Commandant, I would suggest you take care of these men.
What's wrong with them?
They have leprosy.
Oh.
Now, what is the occasion of this visit? Have you decided to increase our native guard?
No, Doctor. It is a little worse than that.
What then?
I have carried on a lengthy correspondence with France on your behalf, Doctor. As you know, for all our differences, I hold you in some esteem.
I thank you.
But now there have come new orders concerning you and your wife. Orders which I cannot fight.
What is it? What more can your government do to us?
Orders have come that all prisoners of war are to be transferred without delay to Europe for rigid internment.
Europe? I don't understand. What is this word, rigid internment? What does that mean?
It means that you and your wife are to be sent to a prison camp in France. And now, may I notify you, with all personal regret, that you are under arrest.
In just a moment, we bring you the second act of the Hallmark Hall of Fame.
Now we continue with our glimpse into the life of Albert Schweitzer. And our story concerns a little-known span. Not of the proud moment just recently when he was awarded the Nobel Prize, but of the time when, during the First World War, he and his wife were held by the French as enemy prisoners. It's an instructive glimpse into the life of a wonderful man. The Schweitzers were shipped under guard to Bordeaux, and from there they were sent to a grim prison in the Pyrenees. Its name was Garrison.
You there, you. Are your belongings open and ready for inspection yet?
They are.
Very well. The lieutenant will look them over.
What about your papers, Albert? Do you think they'll return them?
There is nothing in them that could be construed as dangerous, my dear. I saw to that.
But the book you've been working on, The Philosophy of Civilization, you told me it will upset many people when it's published.
Scholars will be upset. Philosophers will be upset. Thinkers will be upset. But soldiers... No. On the boat, I gave the chapters new headings, very boring and dry headings, pedagogical.
Oh, how can you laugh?
I was thinking of the lieutenant reading my manuscript.
The Alsatian prisoners from Africa are ready for inspection, Lieutenant.
Bon. Now, you... These papers and books, they are yours?
Yes.
I have inspected them carefully, very carefully.
Ah, so?
This manuscript, Philosophy of Civilization. Do you want my opinion?
Yes.
Rubbish. Milksop. Words. Give me the manuscript.
Easy. What about my books?
Your books, you can have them back, except for one. And the brass of you. The unmitigated brass of you makes one wonder.
I don't understand.
Politics. You have in your possession a book named Politics by this writer, Aristotle. See, Politics by Aristotle. And you try to smuggle that into my prison. I'll deny that if you dare.
I cannot deny it. Lieutenant, I should like to point out, however, that this is a very old book. It was written long before the time of Christ.
So? You, soldier. Oui. You took your degree. Is that true?
I'm afraid it is, sir. It was written by a Greek, and if I recall rightly, concerns vague theories of government.
All right, then give it to him. Give it to him, don't waste time. No, your belongings. I see drugs. Oh, I see poison, perhaps. And sharp knives and steel things. What is all this?
I am a doctor.
Oh, doctor. You expect to earn money in this place?
No, I never charge for healing the sick.
Never?
Never.
You are either a liar, which I would not doubt since you are a Boche, or you are a very unusual doctor indeed. All right, it will be all. Send them to quarters.
Carizan is a strange sort of prison.
You know, it's difficult, in a way, to think of it as a prison at all. I mean, for centuries, the monks lived here voluntarily.
Exactly, but prison it is, and one has but to look at the faces in the courtyard to know it.
What do you mean, Albert?
Something is lacking in them. There is no inner energy. If they could but look about them, this place is an encyclopedia of the arts. There's so much to learn. Writers, musicians, painters, professors, all the languages.
Oh, Albert.
So much to learn, to do.
Dr. Schleifen?
Yes.
My name is Buckelhoff, Doctor. How do you do?
How do you do? This is Mrs. Schweitzer.
How do you do, Mr. Buckelhoff?
I was wondering if there's anything I might do for you, Doctor. You don't know it, but I am deeply in your debt.
Oh, how so?
2 years ago, you gave a man named Klassen a package of medicines. That was, as I understand it, in Africa.
Klassen? Oh, yes. A timber merchant.
He was later brought here. The medicines he used to ease the suffering of my wife. She was dying at the time.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
The point is, well, I want to repay you if I could make you something. Don't tell anybody this, but I am a carpenter.
Now, why should you keep that a secret?
I have my reasons.
A table. Could you make a table?
Oh, see, easiest thing in the world.
If the doctor had a table, he could get back to his book.
Oh, it's done. How big a table would you want, Doctor?
About the length of an organ keyboard.
Hmm?
I think that while I'm here, I should like to get in a little practice.
Hey, Doctor.
Yes?
Don't tell me you're going loony like some of those others.
No.
Then what is it? You're sitting here with your eyes shut, diddling your fingers on the edge of the table.
I used to be an organist. I like to keep my fingers limber.
Oh, here, doctor. You have a letter.
Letter? Here?
Yes. It looks like it's been halfway around the world.
It is from my father.
Oh. Practicing the organ, eh? Let me remind you, doctor. Music is forbidden after 9 o'clock. I wouldn't want to keep the other prisoners awake, you know.
My dear son, I do not know where you are. I do not even know if this letter will ever reach you. It is with heavy heart that I write to tell you your mother is dead. She was killed last week on the little road north of the village. She had been to the shrine to pray for the sick and the suffering. On her return, she was knocked down and trampled to death by a troop of cavalry. May God rest her soul in peace. I miss you, my son. It is selfish of me to want you back here in Bruce Park.
Now, mind, don't touch the bandage for any reason, and come back tomorrow.
Dr. Schweitzer.
Yes?
I need some information from you. When you came here, you described yourself simply as a medical doctor.
Correct.
Correct. Is that all?
No, I sometimes write books.
No. But you are not what might be described as a person of great note, huh? Not what one might call a distinguished doctor, eh? No. Not a specialist, perhaps?
Definitely not.
Merci, monsieur.
Now, I wonder what all that was about.
Doctor.
Oh, hello, Borkello.
Doctor, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Here, sit down. Tell me about it.
Yeah, loudly got the notables. There are to be reprisals unless the German army desists in their treatment of the Belgians.
Oh, no.
It's dreadful. I shall be shot.
You. Borkolo, you are not a notable.
When I came here, they said, Borkolo, what are you? And I thought if I tell them I am important, they would be afraid to do anything to me.
So
I told them I was a big contractor back in Vienna.
Oh. Tell them the truth. You are a carpenter.
I've tried.
Well, don't worry, Borkolo. I will help you. I'll show them the table. It's proof enough.
And you, doctor? Will they not use you? Your name is known all over the world.
I have had my interrogation. Jesus tells us that the humble are the blessed. I wrote a monograph on that once. I never dreamed it could have such a literal meaning.
You will put in a word for me?
Yes. But, Borkolo.
Yes, doctor.
You might try praying to Jesus for help in this.
Jesus?
Yes. He was a carpenter, too. I think he'll understand.
Albert Schweitzer's gentle humor and infinite willingness to help his fellow man ease the pain and emotional suffering of his fellow prisoners at Gerasim, and later at the prison of Saint-Remy. And it's an actual fact that his humility saved his life. By example, he helped those about him put their faith in God. With the wars ending, Albert Schweitzer returned to Africa, to Lamborghini, to his dedicated work. It's nice to know that there is such a man on earth. He'll be 80 years old this coming year, but there's a strength about him, a spiritual strength and a power of spirit which the years can't dim. And we salute you tonight in your faraway post of mercy, Albert Schweitzer. week on the Hallmark Hall of Fame, we have a very special occasion indeed. Our story concerns an incident in the life of the late Damon Runyon, newspaper man, humorist, and one of America's most brilliant short story writers. And here to tell it to you will be the famous biographer, Gene Fowler, who was also one of Damon Runyon's closest personal friends. And starring in the title role, Mr. Van Heflin. I know you'll want to be listening next week when we tell you a little-known story from the life of the man who created Runyonese. And those short stories have kept a nation laughing. Until then, this is Lionel Barrymore saying good night.
The Hallmark Hall of Fame on Tuned to Yesterday from May 9, 1954 on CBS. 6 months before the broadcast, Dr. Schweitzer won the Nobel Prize for Medicine. It's an hour of true history on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now an interesting profile about the Air Evacuation Transport Service on the Cavalcade of America from June 28, 1943 on the NBC Red Network. Maureen O'Sullivan stars in the play Sky Nursemaid.
The Cavalcade of America, sponsored by DuPont, maker of better things for better living through chemistry, presents Maureen O'Sullivan in Sky Nursemaid. Tonight on Cavalcade, we tell the story of a service, an Army Air Force service, so new that it has no history except the history that it's making now, day by day. It is the story of the Air Evacuation Service, which speeds the wounded from the field of battle to hospitals behind the lines. Our radio play, Sky Nursemaid, was written for Cavalcade by Sue Taylor White. And in the role of Nurse Jean Owens is starred Maureen O'Sullivan. Canteen on a flying field in Algiers, somewhere near Oran.
Flight number 18. Flight number 18.
Outside, a plane is being loaded with war materials for the battlefront. Soon it will return with a cargo of torn and shattered bodies. Inside, pilots and crews and nurses await their flight orders.
Donuts if you can.
Flight number 18. Flight number 18. Taking off in 15 minutes. Crew report to Hangar 6 immediately. Crew to Hangar 6 immediately.
That's you, isn't it, Freddie?
That's me, Irene. Just when I get a cup of hot coffee for a change. Here, Edna, it's all yours, including two sugars.
Oh, thanks, Freddie. Oh, and don't forget, you're taking me to the movies Friday.
Okay, babe. So long, girl.
Bye.
Keep your nose up, Freddie.
Cute, isn't he? I like him.
Did you say like him or work him?
Say, Irene, look who just made a personal appearance.
Where?
Over by the door, Sergeant Stevens.
Oh. I wonder if anybody ever saw that guy smile.
Ixnay, ixnay, here comes Jean.
Oh, don't mind me. So Sergeant Stevens isn't a Pollyanna. So what?
Oh, hello, Jean. Sit down.
Thank you. Doesn't Sergeant Stevens ever like anything?
Yes, just doesn't like his job, that's all.
Well, he's in the Army, isn't he?
Listen, Irene, he's medical staff sergeant on my plane, and he's a good one. And good ones are hard to find.
Say, what's he got on you?
Oh, don't be silly. He's just the best staff sergeant I ever had. I don't want to lose him.
I think she's carrying a torch for him. That's what I think.
Maybe there's some hidden glamour in his past.
Must be in his past, all right.
Oh, there are probably lots of things you don't know about Sergeant Stevens.
Go on, tell us, Jeanie.
Yes, we're listening. Both ears.
Oh, rubbish. If a man doesn't fuss all over you, you think he's cold or dumb or something. Well, let me tell you this. Lou Stevens isn't dumb. And it's my guess he's got more feeling than most of those flying Romeos.
Oh, Edna, isn't he amusing?
Oh, I like him, and I don't care who knows him. And if that amuses you, well, you can go right on being amused. Excuse me, Bill, I've got to check over my plane supplies.
Gee, she's sure got it bad. Can you picture that? for Sourpuss Stevens.
All right, but if he comes over here, why don't you girls just talk about the weather, hmm?
Oh, meaning we're to keep our trap shut, hmm?
Well, that's a rather crude way of putting it, but you seem to have the idea.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Stevens, grab a cup of coffee and come on over.
Okay.
Yes, Stevie boy. Come on over and spread a little sunshine.
I said stow it, didn't I?
All right, Harvard, all right. You listen to his troubles. Me, I'm going over to Kibbutz on that gin rummy game. You coming, Edna?
Coming. Bye-bye, honey. Hey, wait for me, Irene.
Hiya, Lieutenant.
Hi, Stephen. Sit down. How's Drake?
Lousy as usual, sir.
Listen, Lou. Why don't you stop beefing all the time about the air evacuation service? It's losing you friends.
Not for long.
What did you do? Apply for a transfer?
Yeah. Active duty.
Now, look,
sky nursemaid, that's what I am, a sky nursemaid. I'm sick of it. Getting out of this lousy service.
It's your job, Lou. An important one.
You call that a job, taking orders from a woman? Bring me some water, Sergeant. Easy with a stretcher, Sergeant. Run and get a bandage, Sergeant. Yes, miss. No, miss. Right away, miss. That isn't what I joined the Army for.
If you mean Jean Owen, she's the best nurse in the air service.
It's easy for you to talk. You don't have to take orders from her.
Listen, when we're in the air, I take her advice, and you know it. That gal's got perfect judgment on what height to fly her wounded. When she gives orders, I take them.
No use, sir. I've made up my mind.
Well...
Flight number 19. Flight number 19 taking off in 15 minutes.
That's us, Lee.
Crew report to Hangar 7 immediately. Crew report to Hangar 7 immediately.
Let's go.
Yes, I know. The boss lady is waiting.
You, Lou? I mean, when we're way out in the front and there are no superior officers around.
If you want to.
Good. My name's Jean. Just sit down, Lou. You have a piece of chocolate?
No, thank you, miss.
Meaning you won't sit down or you won't have any chocolate?
Meaning a sergeant is not supposed to sit in the presence of a superior officer, miss.
Oh, rot, superior officer. What's the matter with you, anyhow? What makes you such a sorehead?
Well, you won't have to put up with me much longer. I'm getting a transfer.
I'm sorry, Lou.
Yes, I bet.
Well, you're wrong. I'm really sorry. You're the best staff sergeant I ever had.
Well, I'm not sorry. I enlisted in this lousy service for just two reasons. Oh, I guess for just one reason.
You mean your kid brother, Jimmy?
How did you know?
Well, some of the boys told me.
Well, some of the boys talk too much.
And when you enlisted, you never thought you'd be taking orders from a woman or be a sky nursemaid, did you?
What else do you know?
Oh, plenty. You ran a service station in Madison, Wisconsin. You've been taking care of Jimmy ever since he was born. He was studying to be a doctor, wasn't he?
Yeah. It's all he ever wanted to be. The moment he could talk.
Must be a wonderful kid, Jimmy.
Cream of the crop, that kid. I remember once when he was still in knee breeches.
Yes, Lou. Go on, I'd like to hear.
No, it's nothing.
Is Jimmy much younger than you?
Oh, yeah. 10 years. Oh. Jimmy's not dumb like me. The kid's smart. Ever since he was 10, I kept telling him, Jimmy, you got brains. You're going to get an education, Jimmy. Best that money can buy.
And he got it, too.
Why not? High school, Wisconsin U, medical school. Nothing too good for Jimmy.
And then he enlisted.
Yeah. 2 more years to go. Kind of broke my heart at first, but then they put him in the medical corps and I felt better.
Oh, that's the reason you enlisted.
Yeah. I thought maybe.
Thought maybe you'd be near him.
Maybe. I thought, well, I might pick up things in the medical corps, so when the war's over and Jimmy comes back, well, I'd know what he was talking about.
I see. Where's Jimmy now?
I don't know.
Are you worried about him?
No, we haven't heard from him since they started that push for Tunis.
That's why you wanted to transfer, isn't it?
Well, I figured if I got a gun in my hands, maybe.
You might be stationed near enough to keep an eye on him.
Be asking too much, Jean. I mean, miss.
I wish you meant Jean.
Well, I'll think about it. It don't come sort of natural. You a lieutenant, me a non-com.
Well, lots of things don't come naturally, Lou. Sometimes you have to work for them.
Yeah, you're pretty smart yourself, aren't you?
Okay, crew. Stand by for landing. Coming in now.
Oh, I don't know. But I'm glad you think so. And, Lou, think about not being transferred, huh?
I am. I mean, I will.
Oh, that's good. Honestly, I'd hate to lose you, Lou. You know you're the
best. Yeah, I know. The best staff sergeant you ever had.
Oh, Lou, look at those ambulances lined up on the edge of the field, rows of them. We've got some work to do. What's the matter with you?
Look, Jeannie, I can't go along with you today. They're coming in too fast. Think you can handle it without me?
Oh, I don't like making this trip without a flight surgeon, Major. You never know what's going to happen.
I know, but doctors can't be spared. Casualties too heavy. I wouldn't trust everybody, but you're different, Jeannie. You've got a head on you. Load up now, will you?
Okay. All right, boys, bring the stretchers. And be sure you check each patient's tag first. No, not there. Fill the high and the low tiers with the least critical boys. And the worst ones who'll need attention during the flight go in the middle tier. Oh, no, don't put the fractures in the tail of the plane. They can't stand the wind whip.
You got enough cotton pads to put on the fractures, Jeannie?
Plenty. Oh, Sergeant Stevens.
Yes, miss?
Take over the clamping of the stretchers, Sergeant. Try sliding them in. You know the way I showed you?
Yes, miss, right away.
No, Jeannie, no.
Oh, what's the matter, Major?
You'll have to call them back, Jeannie. Send them over to the tents to direct the ambulances and check tags.
Call them back? Oh, but Major, he's my best loader.
Orders, Jeannie. Call them back.
Yes, sir. Sergeant Stevens.
Yes, miss?
I don't want you to load, Sergeant. Report to headquarters. You're to direct ambulance there and check patient's tag.
You don't want me to load. Oh, I get it.
Sergeant, do as you're told.
Yes, miss.
Oh, but why, Major? Why? Well, he's my best loader. He's been trying to get a transfer, and I'm trying to keep him. I'd like to know why.
Easy, Jeannie. Easy.
I'm sorry, Major.
You know about his kid brother, Jimmy?
Yes, the one he sent to medical school.
You're taking him back.
Oh, no. Bad, Major?
50-50 chance. I'd hold him for the next flight if I could, but he won't last.
Oh, poor Lou.
Lou?
I mean Sergeant Stevens.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I'm sorry, Major, but I
understand, Jeannie.
Oh, he's so grand. All that touchy crust on the outside, but underneath, you know,
He's crazy about that kid brother of his, isn't he?
Yes. Jimmy's just what he wanted to be. Don't you see? Educated. A doctor.
Well, that's why I sent him away, Jeannie.
How'd it happen?
Well, Jimmy went out on a first aid party. Germans got their range. Wrecked them with machine gun bullets.
Oh.
Jimmy got it in the abdomen.
Lost much blood?
Too much.
Transfusions, Major?
3. You may have to give him another.
Well, I've done it before.
Good. I'll load him last. Try not to let Stevens know. You'll have a tough enough flight anyhow.
I'll try.
And, Jeannie, one thing more.
Yes, Major?
Watch your altitude. Be sure that Bill flies under 14,000. You know what altitude does to those abdominal cases.
I'll see that he keeps down, sir.
Good luck, Jeannie. See you next flight out. Hope I can go back with you then.
I hope so, Major. Goodbye. Get yourself some sleep.
Where do you want this one, miss?
Is he the last?
No, miss. There's one more to come.
Hmm. Let's see. Who's on this stretcher?
I'm Private Jenkins, miss.
Compound fracture of the leg. How are you feeling, Jenkins?
Lots better after seeing you, miss.
You'll recover, Jenkins. Now, look. If I put you here right in the middle where you'll get lots of attention, will you do something for me?
Just ask me, miss. Just ask me.
All right. Now, opposite you, I'm going to put a boy who's very sick. Will you keep an eye on him for me, Jenkins?
Anything you say, miss.
Right. Now, if he begins to breathe hard or anything like that, no matter what I'm doing, call me, will you?
Just rest easy, miss. You can count on Jenkins. I'll let you load, miss. 3 walking wounded waiting outside if you can take them, and the last stretcher coming in.
Thanks, Sergeant. Now, you take on the 3 ambulatory cases. Put them far forward and make them comfortable. I'll load the last stretcher myself.
Let me give you a hand with that one.
Sergeant, I said take the ambulatories forward and make them comfortable.
Yes, miss. All right, you 3 guys up forward. Make yourself comfortable. You heard what the lieutenant said, didn't you?
Easy on that stretcher, boys, easy. I'll fix the clamp. Yeah, that's all. Stretcher bearers off the plane. All off, please. And give the signal for the takeoff.
So long, miss.
Listening to The Cavalcade of America, sponsored by DuPont and starring Maureen O'Sullivan in Sky Nursemaid, a story of the flying ambulance service between the front line and base hospitals. Nurse Jean Owens, played by Miss O'Sullivan, is trying to prevent Lou Stevens, her staff sergeant, from learning that on their plane, critically wounded, lies the sergeant's kid brother.
Excuse me, miss. Private Lester says he's going to be sick.
Who's Private Lester?
One of the walking cases up forward, miss.
What's wrong with him?
Broken arm, set in traction. Never been up in a plane before. Kind of scared, I guess.
Well, you ought to know what to do with him, Sergeant.
Oh, yeah, sure. Prop him up so his arm doesn't jostle.
And give him a paper bag. He'll get over it. Anything else, Sergeant?
Well, don't you want to give me your list so I can check him over?
No, never mind, Sergeant. I'll do it this time.
Some of them may need treatment.
Please, Sergeant, will you please stay forward with those ambulatories?
They don't need any help, and you know it.
When I want you here, I'll call you.
Just because I'm transferring out, now you won't let me do anything, huh? Coming out here, I thought you were on the level. My mistake, miss.
Can you stop acting like a fool and get forward?
Yes, miss. Indeed, miss. Right away, miss. I'll go forward and play nurse maid, holding a paper bag for Private Lester to be sick in. What's eating him?
Never mind, Jenkins. You've got other things to worry about.
Boy, oh boy, is he carrying a torch.
Now, don't forget, you're keeping an eye on that kid across the aisle, huh?
Yeah, well, he's dead to the world. He ain't flipped a muscle yet.
Now, what's eating you?
Honest, I didn't mean to holler, miss, but that bump was like somebody dropping a trip hammer on my leg.
Well, when we're flying low like this, we're apt to run into air pockets. Look, if I lift your leg, do you think you could slip one of these cotton pads under? Right here? It'll hurt a minute, but it'll be easier on the bump.
Why don't you call the sergeant, miss? He'll help you.
What's the matter, Jenkins? Are you afraid of a little pain?
Okay, I'll slip it under. Where's the pad?
Here. Yep. Now, quick. Yep. Under more. Under. There you are. Feels better, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does. Hey, you're pretty good, ain't you?
Sure. So are you.
Hey, miss, the kid across the aisle's coming, too.
Oh, thanks, Jenkins. Hello, Jimmy. You feeling better now?
Is this a hospital?
Sort of. It's an air evacuation plane. We're flying you to the hospital.
How do you know my name?
Well, it's on your tag. Jimmy Stevens.
Tag? Oh, you've got my tag. Think I'm going to die, don't you?
Oh, of course not. Whoever put that idea in your head?
Bullet wound in the abdomen. I know what that means. That's not...
Jimmy.
Not so good.
Jimmy.
Yes?
Oh, take it easy, will you? We're going to have you all right in no time. 2 hours and we'll be at the hospital. Oh, just hang on, Jimmy, for my sake. Hang on tight.
I feel dizzy. Nurse, I'm so cold.
Jenkins, quick, throw me a blanket. He's gone into shock.
I ain't got a blanket, miss. Hey, Sergeant, come back here. The nurse wants you. Hurry up.
Oh, Jenkins, who told
you that? Well, he's able-bodied, ain't he?
Yes, miss. You want me?
All right, Sergeant. I do need help. Blankets and hot pads right away. There's a boy in here in shock. We may have to give him a blood transfusion.
I'll get the plasma, miss. Got a sterile needle?
No. Lou, wait a minute.
Yes, miss?
Oh, I don't know how to tell you.
What is it, miss?
You better take a look at him first. It's Jimmy. Oh, I didn't want you to know it, Lou. I tried to keep it from you.
Say something, kid. Me, Lou.
Oh, you're wasting time. Now, this has got to be fast, I tell you. Don't stand there. He's lost a lot of blood. He's been shot in the abdomen. Do you hear me?
Yes, miss. I hear you. I'll be right back.
Oh, hurry, Lou. Now, hurry. What are you doing to that plane? You're jarring all my patients, Bill.
Can't be helped, Jean. There's a Messerschmitt on our tail. He's shooting at us.
A Messerschmitt? Well, can't you lose him, Bill?
He's gaining on us. I may have to climb, Jeannie.
Oh, no, you mustn't do that. I've got an abdominal case on board. He's in shock. The altitude may kill him.
All right, I'll try, Jeannie. But if I can't shake him, I'll have to go up.
Get the blankets to the pad, miss. See any better?
Did you get the plasma, Sergeant?
Yes.
Still water? Sterile needle?
Everything's ready, miss.
All right, Sergeant. Mix the plasma. Be sure to shake it. Stand by till I need you.
What's that?
Quiet. Jimmy, does this heat make you feel better? Jimmy?
No use, Jean. We'll have to go up. Our only chance is to lose him in the clouds. Jeannie, what do you say? Shall I go up?
What does he mean, go up? He can't do that.
He may have to, Lou. We're being chased by a messenger.
But it'll kill him. It'll kill Jimmy.
If we don't go up, it'll kill the others. All the other 17. You don't want that, Lou.
What do I care about the others? Tell him to stay down where he belongs.
You're a soldier, Stevens. You're a sergeant in the medical corps. It's your business to care about the others.
Oh, don't give me that medical corps. The best nursemaid in the air evacuation force. All I'm thinking about is Jimmy.
All right, Sergeant Stevens. You'll get your transfer, and good riddance.
Sergeant Stevens.
Oh, go on. Answer him.
This is Sergeant Stevens.
What's happened to Jenny?
Oh, she's right here, sir.
Well, tell her I'm waiting for an answer. Tell her we've got to go up. What does she say?
All right, Sergeant Stevens. You answer him.
says go on up, sir.
Thank you, Sergeant.
I don't like the way he's breathing, miss. It's too shallow.
Let me see his pulse.
Maybe that blood transfusion.
Yeah, I think you're right, Sergeant. Plasma solution ready?
Ready, miss.
Tube, please. Needle? All right. You can start it flowing now. Slowly. Slowly. Sergeant, you're not
going. I've got it, miss. Go right ahead.
Pulse is stronger now.
Yeah. Yeah, the color's coming back in his face.
Maybe we'll pull him through, Sergeant.
Well, he's got the best nurse in the service, miss.
And the best staff sergeant she ever had.
Lieutenant Owens, may I introduce you to Staff Sergeant Lou Stevens?
Bill, I'm going to smack you.
No, you're not, because I'm leaving. I have a few things to check over on the plane. Excuse me, ma'am.
Excuse me, Sergeant.
That devil.
I brought you some coffee, miss. Hot.
And a bar of chocolate, too.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to think about that chocolate, Sergeant.
I just came from the hospital, miss.
He's doing fine, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Doctor says he's going to be okay. Good as new.
Oh, I'm glad, Sergeant.
Lou, miss.
Lou what?
Lou Jean.
That colonel over there heard us.
Nuts, the colonel. Say, Jean.
Yes?
I've been sort of thinking.
What about Lou?
Me and you. I mean, well, you see.
Yes?
I guess I acted awful dumb on that flight, huh?
I wouldn't say that. It'd make good sense to me.
Yeah. All them fireworks. You know, I got a rotten temper.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, if you promise to keep it a secret, I've got one, too.
Yeah? That's funny. I never thought I'd like a girl that's sassy.
And I never thought I'd like a...
Sorehead?
A man with very definite opinions. About women, especially.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Jean, I still got to thank you for pulling Jimmy through.
Oh, it wasn't me. It was that plasma.
Oh, no, it was you that gave it with a Messerschmitt on her tail.
All part of a routine evacuation flight, Lou. The sort of thing that you're through with.
What do you mean I'm through with?
You're being transferred, aren't you?
Transferred? Where'd you ever get that idea?
I thought you were getting out of this lousy service. Sick of being a sky nurse.
A guy could change his mind, can't he?
Well, to make it stick, he's got to have a change of heart, too.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is, a change of heart. That's what makes me feel so good.
Flight number 19. Flight number 19. Taking off in 15 minutes. Crew report to Hangar 7 immediately. Crew to Hangar 7 immediately.
Come on, miss. That's us.
Yes, Sergeant. That's us.
And now our star of tonight's cavalcade, Maureen O'Sullivan.
It's been a privilege to present on Cavalcade this drama of the Air Evacuation Transport Service. The extent of this service may be judged from the fact that of 9,500 wounded in North Africa, 7,000 were flown from battle zones to hospitals, with less than 2% of the casualties fatal. But here's a soldier who's had first-hand knowledge of this new humanitarian service, Staff Sergeant Thomas Day, Jr., of Ardsley, New York. What do you think of the Air Transport Service, Sergeant Day?
Pretty swell, Miss O'Sullivan. If it wasn't for their plane service, I probably wouldn't be here today.
Well, will you tell us about it, just as you told me this afternoon?
I got mine at Matur. It was just dusk the eve of Good Friday, April 22nd, when the Americans were given the final push that eventually drove the Germans out of Africa. Our trucks were just starting to move, and one of the trucks I was riding in ran over 11-pound mine, TNT. The truck was blown to pieces, my left leg with it. I was able to crawl clear of the burning truck, take myself a tablet, and sprinkle the sulfur powder on the wound. I never lost consciousness. 5 minutes later, a doctor picked me up in an ambulance, made a tourniquet out of his own belt, and got me to first aid. I had 3 plasma transfusions before I was evacuated to Rambye Plain, the same bench which was the scene of a part of tonight's cavalcade. I'm afraid I have never had made it in an ambulance. Iran was heaven. You'll never know just how good it was to be there, to be back in America in a little over a month. The Army Evacuation Service is really tough. Take it from one who knows.
Thank you, Sergeant Day, and good luck.
Next week, in honor of Independence Day, the Cavalcade of America will present a great radio classic, Listen to the People, by the late Stephen Vincent Benet, with an epilogue by Carl Sandburg. Our star will be Ethel Barrymore. Next week, when Cavalcade presents Ethel Barrymore in Stephen Vincent Benet's Listen to the People. Here is a message from the government of interest to everyone who is wondering how he can pay his 20% withholding tax and increase his war bond purchases. The new withholding tax doesn't change the actual amount you pay. It merely changes the way and the time you pay. A sensible way of paying for the war as we go along.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The Cavalcade of America, on Tuned 2 yesterday from June 28, 1943, on the NBC Red Network, with Maureen O'Sullivan as star, Bud Collier, the announcer, just 2 years into his role as Superman, which he would play on radio through 1950. And that wraps up this hour of True History on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.